just really, really rapidly, and the fishermen for thousands of years try to get off that body of water because it can cause up to 30-foot swells on this lake. We're talking a big-time storm. These are fishermen. These weren't wimps. And they were terrified at what was going on, and the master calmed it. Chapter 6, verse 22. The next day the multitude stood on the other side of the sea. They saw that there was no other boat there except one, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with the disciples, that his disciples had gone away alone. There came other small boats from Tiberias near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the multitude therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" That's the kind of question I ask. Let's just make some conversation. I'm a little curious here. And he could have answered about 9:30 this morning or whatever, you know. But he answers a different question. In fact, they haven't asked the question. They don't know they're supposed to ask it yet. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs." The intent of the signs of Jesus was so they would believe him. "But you're not seeking me because you saw the signs, but because you ate the bread and were filled, and you want more free bread." Pretty good bread, wasn't it? I'll bet it was the best. And it came, and we were filled to satisfaction. Wow, what a champion this guy is. And now you want me because I'm giving you bread. That's what he is implying, because that is what they are thinking. And then he says, "Do not work for the food which perishes." Don't go after just, you know, Dave's killer bread stuff. "But for the food which endures to eternal life." He relates food to their eating of the bread. Jesus defines his illustration before he gives it. He starts right here. And that's where I want to take you today. And then once he gives the illustration, they forget his definition and turn away from him. And they are grossed out. "Do not work for the food which perishes." Eat the bread, it's gone. You eat the bread, it's gone. You need more bread. It perishes. "But for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." They said therefore to him, "Well, what shall we do that we may work the works of God?" The works that lead to this food of eternal life. What can we do? Which is what the human race is always interested in doing. Doing it themselves somehow. Just give us some direction here. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God." Here is the definition: that you believe in him whom he has sent, the Father has sent. There's no effort in that. There's no work in that. There's no labor in that. It is believing in him. That is the definition of the rest of this chapter. They said therefore to him, "Oh, what do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you?" Now, this one makes me scratch my head just a little bit. He had just fed them from a little sack lunch, probably 15,000 plus people total. That's a pretty good sign, wouldn't you say? He had been healing diseases, casting out demons, raising people from the dead, confounding their religious teachers. And they say, "What sign are you going to do that we might see and believe? You're telling us to believe. Well, show it to us." Really? Okay. "What do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" And then they relate it. "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness," back there with Moses, you remember that? "As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." And Moses kept giving them bread out of heaven to eat. They called it manna. You remember that in your Old Testament? What does the word manna mean?
What is it?
Exactly right. What is it? What is it? Wait up. What is it? I don't know, but it tastes good. What is it? Please pass the what is it? Just, you know, it's kind of funny, but that's not where it was. So they quote that because they are expecting that Jesus proved he could do that yesterday. Jesus is saying, you know what? Your thinking's wrong. Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of the heavens, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. He's kind of coming to a point here. He's building his case. Number one, it wasn't Moses. Get your eyes off of Moses. It was God. Moses was simply the physical leader. Now it's my Father, the same one that did it then, that is giving you the true bread out of heaven. And he goes on with this, I have to call it a metaphorical illustration. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, therefore, Lord, give us, evermore give us this bread. Come on, show us what you got. Give us that bread you're talking about. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread. Bread relates to eating. His illustration continues on in the eating. But the eating of the bread he's talking about, he's defined it at the beginning. It is not consuming his body with your mouth. It is believing in him. It is receiving him by believing in him. That's what he defined. And he relates himself to bread. In fact, in John later on, I am the bread of life. 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Metaphor of eating and drinking is coming in. They're kind of tracking with him. It's getting a little funny though. But I said this to you, that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. You've rubbed shoulders with me. You've experienced the blessings and you don't believe. You don't understand it yet. You're not believing. You're asking for a sign. You've had plenty. What more do you need? And there are those of us humanoids who will put some kind of little thing out there in front of God and say, well, if you do this, I'll believe in you forever and ever and ever. Sometimes God does that and they still don't believe. Other times, he doesn't make those kinds of deals. How much do you need to see and know to believe? It's a faith move. You're never going to get there by just all the logistics coming together. But you know what? That faith is built on reason, and you can reasonably see the evidence there. There is a God. Solidly, there is the evidence. But I say to you, you have seen me, yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And the one who comes to me, I certainly will not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but I raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Here comes the grumbling. The Jews therefore were grumbling about him because he had said, I am the bread that comes down out of heaven. What do you make yourself out to be? Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say, I've come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And I believe that's the drawing. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Back to that, understand that metaphor. The bread of life. What do you do with bread? You eat bread. But what has he already told them at least four times in here? Believe. And to believe is to eat that bread, him who is the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread also which I give him for the life of the world is my flesh. Now it starts getting weird. It's my flesh. And I'm sorry, I hope I don't really offend anybody, but truth does offend people. Where this has gone in some religious circles has turned this bread that we will serve in a few minutes into this mysterious thing of now this is the flesh of Jesus. That is not what is taught here or any place in your scripture. I will take this piece since I handled it. This is bread. He is the bread of life. When I've believed in him, I have received the bread of life. This is the reminder. This is bringing me back to the fact that he has saved me. He has come into me. He is my Father. I am his Son. Do this in remembrance of me. The Jews therefore began to argue with one another, verse 52, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're taking him at his literal words. When he is speaking metaphorically and illustration-wise, and rightly so, they're getting weirded out. Anybody tells me to take a bite of them, man, I'm going to find something else to do. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, he pushes it further, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He has already told them to do that is to believe in him. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is the true food, my body is the true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread, metaphor of bread, you eat bread. I am the bread of life. Receiving me is believing in me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, past tense. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread shall live evermore. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? He came down as the bread that gives life, and he's going back. What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. And I do believe that the Father was working at that time to draw some to himself. And it was not through becoming cannibalistic. It was wording to get them to understand that the bread which you eat is now him. And believing in him is eating of him. A little bit further. 63. It is the Spirit who gives a life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe. Mainly Judas Iscariot. And who it was who would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. The gift of the coming. The gift of believing. The gift of life. Verse 66, as a result of this, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Him as an exclusive one was a Turner offer to some as it is today. Jesus, the only way? Well, he's the one that said it. Still the same. Well, I can't buy that, so I'm turning away. To do these things that he's called us to do? I don't like it. I'm coming to you on my terms only. I'm not coming on your terms. Jesus won't have it. And so they turn away. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away also?" Apparently there was a multitude now whittled down to the 12. Even one of those was not a believer. And Jesus gives them opportunity to turn and go. I'm thinking it's a quiet moment. Do you want to go? Are you done? It's going to get tough here. And this little illustration is just an example of that toughness. Do you want to go? And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I'm sure glad he didn't say, "You have the flesh that I can eat of eternal life." It is the believing that Jesus is who the Father said he is. It is the believing of Jesus being who he said he is. You alone have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter thought he was representing 11 other guys. Jesus clarifies that. "Did I myself not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil, a slanderer, the diabolos." Not the, but a. Of course, that's Judas. Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. And then it goes on. In the next chapter, Jesus talks about coming to him, all who are thirsty. Here was the eating chapter. The next one is the drinking chapter. Anyone who's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And it's the call out at the end of a great feast in Jerusalem. On the final day of that feast, on the days leading up to that feast, the Hebrews would go to the pool of Siloam, fill a jug of water, bring it back and pour it out as a drink offering before the Lord. On the last day, they didn't do that anymore. And on that last day is when Jesus stood up and called out and said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He is the living water." Don't get stumbled on the metaphors. Don't get stumbled there, but to realize believing in him is what he has called us to do. That is the work of God, to believe in him. That God requires believing. Now, as we go into each month that we do this, and this morning specifically since we're there, as we go to that point where you're served this bread and this grape juice, we do use non-alcoholic juice, primarily for the sake of those who could get stumbled. We don't want to go there. Just simple logistics. This eating of the bread, this drinking of the cup, is done by those who have believed in him, Jesus. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. Have you received that forgiveness? Have you understood that all religion dies at that point in time? This is pure relationship with God. And whatever your religious background, drop it and come to Jesus for real. A relationship. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. As I eat this bread, it represents his body that was torn in place of my body. His blood that was spilled instead of my blood to pay for my sins. And I do this as often as I do it to reflect back, remember him. And Paul taught us to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let me put a little parenthetical statement here. I was telling Dave Blalock a few minutes ago that My mind has been going back to Genesis 6 because of Jesus' words in Matthew 24 about his next time he comes and what the world is going to be like when he comes again. In that teaching in Matthew 24, it includes, as in the days of Noah, when they were marrying. We just had a wedding the other day. Great time.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. Nothing wrong with getting married. In fact, it's the right thing to do. It's normal life was going on. They were marrying. They were giving in marriage. They were eating and drinking. Normal life. But you go back to Genesis 6 and it tells us it wasn't just normal life. It was extreme wickedness that was going on at the same time. And in our normal life here where we are marrying and giving in marriage and just doing life out there, get up and go to work in the morning, life, the world itself is getting torn apart at the seams. The vileness, the horrid wickedness, the murderous things going on. And my mind's going back and saying, ha, as in the days of Noah. Man, seems like it's happening. Extremely so. And I've got to say, Lord Jesus, will this be the last communion that we take together before you come? He told us to pray at the end of Revelation, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Set things right. But until then, God, give me the grace to endure. Give me the grace to serve you with integrity at what you've called me to do here. God, help me. And until you come again, I proclaim your death till you come. Cliff, would you come on up and help me? David, would you mind helping this morning, please? And how about Mr. Step over here?